In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is the last Sunday in this season that we know it as Epiphany. And always on this last day, it is set aside for this Feast of the Transfiguration. This is such an important event that they leave it as a marker at the end of this season before we enter Lent. So what we just heard about is really a very remarkable thing that happened on that mountaintop. But I think it's very important to unpack that and then to understand that maybe there are things in there that are important to us. So let me unpack that a little bit. First of all, we heard about the disciples being invited to go with him. That, if you remember, doesn't happen often in the gospel. Generally, we hear about Jesus going off by himself to pray. But this time he brought his disciples with him. And that's very, very important because this event was for them. So that was the first century disciples that we're talking about. So let me ask you a question. Are there any 21st century disciples here today? Huh? Any of you disciples? Yeah. Because we know from the Gospel of Matthew at the end, the last things the disciples were told to do was to go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to do everything that he told them to do. So if we're baptized, we are automatically disciples. So what was shown to these three disciples was also meant for us. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit more because now we're talking about discipleship, and I really kind of want to get to the disciples. But before we do that, I want to kind of explain a couple of things about what we saw, what they saw. First of all, we saw Jesus being transformed, or transfigured, but transformation is another good word. He became, in fact, the real person that Jesus is, both human and divine. And as he saw him, that is the way he will be coming back at the second coming. And then we heard about Moses and Elijah. What that signifies is Moses represents the law, or the Torah, as is known to the Jews, the first five books that we know in the Old Testament. So what we heard in our reading today is how Moses was called by God to start to call the people into being his people. And of course, as we know, they kind of went offline and didn't always do what God told them to do. So he sent the prophets. And therefore, Elijah represented the prophets. So now you see the beginning of God's plan. He goes from Moses collecting his people, the prophets trying to keep them online, and then the next step is Jesus coming as the Messiah. So that is what the disciples had a chance to see. And you can imagine it was a pretty dramatic event. How about Peter? I don't know about you, but there are times that I'm like Peter. I go ahead and say something, and then I say, oh, my, what did I say that for? But he was so overwhelmed by what had happened, and that's understandable. So what I'd like to do right now is kind of transfer us from talking about that event and what we can learn from it. And what we can learn from it is we're really called here to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And that discipleship is not something that we start today and then put down tomorrow. It isn't something that, oh, we went to confirmation class, that's the end of it. Discipleship is an ongoing learning process all through your life. And the way we learn is through doing things not only for ourselves but for other people. So what I want to do right now is to kind of take you through a few of the things that we're doing here at Holy Innocents that are meant to help us improve our discipleship. Now, the list is long. Thank God. It's really amazing of all the things we do. When I started to put this down, I was really impressed. I just hope I don't bore you. But I've divided this into three groups. First of all, it's the ministries that we do for our own development. These are the ministries that help build us up in Christ. The second will be leadership. The third one will be ministries to our congregation. And then finally, the ministries that we are called to take what we learn here and bring it out in the world. So we cover an awful lot of territory here. So for the ministries for our own development, Right at the top of the list is Bible study. Most important thing we can do, not only reading the Bible at home and keeping up with Holy Scripture, is to get involved in a Bible study where you're getting some more explanation, probably from Father Brian, but there are others who are qualified. The second of all, what you're getting in that is you're hearing other people's responses to what they are getting out of that. So that's a real learning experience. So just off the top of my head, we got Father Brian teaching Bible study between services on Sunday. And then if you're at home on Thursday at 11:30, you can get online, and we do it online. We have about, last week we had 20 people. So there's plenty of room for anybody else who wants to join us. And if you really like to get up early in the morning, on Friday at 6:30 at Panera Bread, you can come and join us down to Lithia Pinecrest. Because we have a few guys that the idea was to do that before they went to work, just to have a Bible study. So beyond that, and then there's Women's Bible Study, and you'll see an announcement of that coming up here. And there's also Bible study as part of the Brotherhood of St. Andrew and also the Daughters of the King. Now, I want to mention life groups. Now, that's kind of a new thing we're doing here. But the purpose of the life group is to bond a closer relationship so that, you know, we come in here on Sunday morning, we all see each other, and we smile, and everything is fine. But to really get to know each other, we need to be in smaller groups. And that's what you get in a life group. A life group helps you to be with a group of people that you can share your walk with Christ and the times that things aren't necessarily going so good, because that happens to all of us. It's also a place where Father Brian assigns out a book for us to read, and then later on we can discuss how each group found that book. Another area that helps us grow spiritually is we have morning prayer in the chapel, and you're welcome to come here. In fact, Father Brian would love to see this chapel full of people here in morning prayer, and it can be led by a layperson. That's one of the ministries that laypeople can do in this church. And there's also, at Wednesday night, we have a gathering and an evening prayer at that time also, which is another part of our worship. And then, very shortly, there's going to be a women's fellowship retreat, and you'll see an announcement about that, and the men's retreat that's going on right now. So all of these are to help build our own spirituality and help us become much stronger and better disciples. Okay, we also need leadership here. And leadership has to be based on a good, strong spirituality. So like running for the vestry or being a ministry leader, very, very important. But not only are you doing things for other people, it's making you a much stronger and better person. Then there are ministries to our congregation. First of all is worship, what we're doing here on Sunday morning. What we do here on Sunday morning really calls in a lot of people. The first is the Altar Guild. We never see them. They're always behind the scenes. But they actually start our event on Saturday morning as they prepare for us. And they don't finish, the event isn't done until they put everything away. And by the way, we would love to have more people on Altar Guild. And by the way, if you have any men here that want to join, they would be happy to have you. And then there are greeters. Again, another important job because that helps us welcome a new person coming in who's really kind of tenuous and not knowing what this is going to be like. And a greeter can make that person feel much more comfortable in being with us for the first time. And there are ushers that pick up the plate. And readers, as you just heard, and Eucharistic ministers that assist us at the rail, and then the choir. I know Matt can always have a few more voices. Not that we don't have a good choir right now. We have a fantastic choir, but if there's always a place there for you if you have a voice that you want to offer. And then there are prayer teams and healing teams at the end of the service over there. Oh, and I can't forget our audiovisual people up there, because they allow us to put this out on the internet so a lot of people who can't get here are able to observe. And by the way, we have members of this congregation that have never stepped a foot in this church because they're members only through the internet, and that's fine. We love it. I know this seems long. It's amazing when you start taking a look at what we do. But I'm not through yet as far as what we do for the congregation, because then we got Sunday school teachers. We got parents' nights out, and there's assistance for that. And finally, I want to talk about the next group of ministries. And this is the ministries that we do for outside the church. You know, when I dismiss you and tell you to go in peace, to love, and serve the Lord, the serving the Lord means to take the Christ that is in you and bring it out amongst the people that you work with and live with and go to this grocery store with, because they need to have Christ in their lives. And the way we do it is we show it to them. So then, and this breaks down to two categories. One category are the things that we do for other people but not are directly with the people. And then there's a category of things that we do directly with the people. So the first one on the list I want to mention is Meals on Wheels that we do every Wednesday. We've been doing that for years here. And some of the people we bring meals to, that's the only meal they have that day. So it's very, very important what's being done on that. Then when the Eucharistic visitor is often sent out carrying the sacrament to those people who can't be with us to worship here on Sunday morning. And then we have Rachel's Guild, who's building quilts for young people who are in institutions. And then there's a youth mission trip, which has been wonderful and life-changing for many of the kids who have gone on it. And then finally, I shouldn't say finally, but Transforming Lives for Christ's feeding ministry. This is another one where we have direct contact with people. It gives us a chance to feed them, to give them a meal, but to sit with them and talk with them and give them an opportunity to share the concerns that they have in their hearts and to pray for them and maybe share our own walk with Christ with them if they're open and ready to hear that. And then we have volunteers at Dover Elementary. And then finally, not finally, but the last thing on my list is Family Promise. I'm sure I have missed something, and I apologize for anybody that I didn't mention. And I do want to thank all the people who are involved in any of these ministries now, but to let you know, there's room for everybody here. Everybody in this church, there's room in a ministry for them. You take the gifts that God has given you, and you offer them back to the church. And if you think about it, this is what we're about. It's about transformation. You know, our mission is up on the wall as you walk in here. Transforming lives, transforming the world. So the first lives that are being called to be transformed is our own. But with our own lives enriched by studying Scripture, being part of the Bible studies, by doing the many things that I've talked about here, not only are you helping other people, you are helping yourself. And I'd like to give an example of that. A friend of mine, a person that you people know here very well, was telling me last week about a work situation where it was kind of contentious, and he was very calm, relaxed, very compassionate, invited people in that were having a problem, and got everything calmed down and settled it. And then he said, I realized, a year ago, I never would have done that. I would have probably got upset. I might have even yelled and screamed a little bit. He said, what has happened to me by the work that I'm doing here in Holy Innocence has changed my life. And I think that's a real, real important thing to know. So we're called here to live our lives in Christ, but to be transformed in the way that God needs us to be transformed. So if you're not involved in one of the ministries here, take a look at what's available. If it meets something that you've got to offer, please offer yourself and just be that one more step as a disciple in Christ. Amen.